Good morning. It's good to be here today with you. And what a great church this is. We've heard a lot about it. My name is Darwin Bichette. I work with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada and also John Ingalls up there. He works along with me. And we know you, John. Great. Good to have you here too. And also I work with Pastor Dave Demchuk, who's our Bible College president down in that direction. And you know Jerry Spielmacher. He works together with me with finances. So Jerry's just glad you're here also. I know one thing. The Lord builds his church. He always does. And he's been faithful. He's always been faithful. And he looks at our faithfulness and wants to know if we've been faithful. And I look at this church, and over the many, many years, I know this church has been faithful. I work together, as I mentioned, with Jerry. We work with finances with the district. And when it comes to finances, I learned this when I was young. When I was 15 years old, I was told if I were to invest $50 a month, by the time I was 65, I'd be a millionaire. I didn't listen to that person. I don't know if you listen to those types of things. If you invested in the proper things, that can happen. This church has invested into the lives of people over these many, many years. And way back to 80 years ago, when you started investing in those people's lives, they invested in another one, another one, another one, another one, another one. It just compounds. You might see so many bodies here today, but there will be thousands when you get to heaven. It'll compound on top of compound on top one after the other. And God wants to know if we're faithful in that. And you have been faithful. And I know one thing will happen. After I pastored it for 25 years, I know there's a lot of hard work that goes into pastoring a church. I understand your role. It's hard work. But also, I know what it's like to sit in the crowd and work. And work behind the scenes. And I know this is what God will say one day to you as a church. And so on behalf of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, I want to say this also. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little. He will give you much. Now enter into your Father's pleasure and happiness for all of eternity. I can't wait to hear those words. I know we have a few years ahead of us, and we're going to see many more things take place, more souls added to the kingdom, more compounding taking place in the future. So thank you so much for being part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. God bless you.
Okay, I just want to read a few letters. There's some people sent some letters of congratulation. I want to read them to you. As you know, it's been a hectic few weeks of getting everything together, but I just want to read a couple letters that I think you'll be interested. Some of you have been here for a long time, some of you not so much, you might not know who they are, but trust me, those that have been here a while know. This is from Pastor Mark Lewis, Reverend Mark Lewis. He is actually pastoring in Burnaby now as the lead pastor. He was down in Vegas, which we kind of felt that fit him quite well down there. But he's back and at it again, so I'm excited to have him around. And he has to look up to me because I'm senior to him. So not in age, but just in every other way. So I'm very happy about joking. So he sends congratulations. He says, well, congratulations, West Winds, on an amazing occasion celebrating 80 years. Wow. I feel humbled and honored to say that we were a tiny part of those 80s. Of those 80 years, sorry, not of the 80s, of 80 years. Now, just so you know, I interned under Mark Lewis, so you can blame him for anything, my bad habits. Carrie, his wife, and I also look back at the time well spent as youth pastors there and have only fond memories. You as a church helped shape and mold us to be the ministers we are today. That's him blaming us, so don't believe him. He wants to thank Pastor Ted and Chris Boodle and the staff and families that continue to be a light in a dark place, and let's hope for another 80 incredible years. So that's from Mark Lewis. Sherry Comont sent this. Dear Pastor Mark, we would like to send a note of congratulations. Elmer and I were youth and CE pastors at, back then, Cloverdale Pentecostal in our day. The Dear Church family sent us a brand new PAOC missionaries in August of 1980. We have now served for 37 years on the African continent, and that's because of you here. With deepest appreciation, we say thank you and congratulations on 80 years. And this last one took me some digging. It was hard, and then I asked someone, and I got the phone number, so it was that easy. But at the first part, it was not easy. This is from William and Ruth Kowalski. Now, they were here for 6 years. I have it listed here somewhere. Anyways, they were here, and many of you that are here, they wanted to say thank you. I was playing telephone tag on her cell phone, which is an experience and a half, when she did answer. So I'll tell you the story another time. But Ruth and I had the privilege of serving in the church from 81 to 87, and we thank God for the opportunity. We still have many fond memories of our time spent there. Congratulations on the 80th anniversary of Cloverdale Pentecostal Westwinds Community Church at this time. It is truly a highlight for your congregation to celebrate this. We wish you God's richest blessing and a very successful ministry for many years to come. So let's thank them for what... So I want to introduce to you three people that, there's many pastors that have pastored here, there's support staff that have pastored here, but three people that came to mind when thinking about this. I would like to ask them to come to the platform. Pastor Egan Roller, Pastor Ted Boodle, and Pastor LaVon Dougal, if they would come up. We're going to just ask them a few questions. So come on up. I remember playing video games on the ferry to district conference with LaVon.
I won.
She did win. She was quite good. Let's make sure we're doing okay here.
I made it.
You did. I'm proud of you. I have a special seat for you if you wish. You as well.
I'll probably follow. You
and the infamous Pastor Ted Boodle. So what I wanted to do this morning is ask a few questions. You can sit down. I can get you in. No? All right. Coffee? Tea?
Sure.
I wanted to ask. Now, you've heard it earlier today that Pastor Egan built this building. And he's going to tell us a little bit about that in a couple seconds. But with his pretty much determination, bare hands, and making people do what they need to do. Right? You made them. Pastor Ted has been here, probably the longest serving lead pastor of Westwinds Community Church of 26 years. So that's incredible. And Pastor LaVon was... In my time, one of the very first women pastors that we had, and that's a big hot topic right now. You were way ahead of your time. And she, as well as these other gentlemen, have poured into my life. And so how long were you? You were here for a while, weren't you? I'll give you this.
I don't remember. Brian, how long were we here?
12 years. Okay, yeah. Awesome. So that's impressive. So I want to ask Pastor Egan just one quick question. Well, I got some more, but this is one of the ones that I've wondered the whole time we've been in this building. What was the toughest hurdle in building this church on this spot in Cloverdale?
The toughest was that I was here. Nobody else wanted to. Those were difficult days. I don't know how much time you're going to let me have, but
you deserve all the time you want.
Well, I built this place. What are you telling me? No, I don't want that to go the wrong way. I didn't build it. The Lord. And I looked around, and there's even a few faces that are here about the time that we were beginning to build this building. And, I don't know whether I should take the time to tell you, but when we came here to Cloverdale, we came into the old church that existed, and it had rotten floors. We had to put in two sheets of plywood, 3/4-inch plywood, in the entrance so that people could walk into the building. The porch was in worse condition. And when I look back, it was so easy to just forget about it. This church will never amount to anything. In fact, I was going to tell you that we had a pastor's gathering where all the pastors came, and that was before we came here. And the pastors, one of the pastor's wife, said this, "Did you hear? They're looking for a pastor in Cloverdale." And she used these words because I was sitting just across from her at a coffee time that day. And she said, "Anybody that goes there has to be crazy." I don't know how she figured that all out, but she didn't know that we had been praying for 2 months about whether we would come here. It was run down. There was very few people left. I saw Margaret Dergossif, and she said hi. She was among the early ones, Linda and Wes. Now, are there others? I don't know if there are others that are here that were around that time.
Yeah, Katie Weiss. Katie Weiss. Yeah. Katie.
Katie. Katie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Egan Black. But one thing I want to say, we can do nothing if the Lord is not with us. Yes, in that old church with all the rotten floor, we tried to have services and we tried to start something, and God blessed. And it wasn't long before we had Sunday school going again, and there were people coming, kids coming, bus. We had to get a bus. We had to get things going. But where were we going to go? And I didn't even know that the bylaws in the city wouldn't allow anybody to build just wherever they thought they could or would. But as we grew in the old church and we needed to have a building to have any future, I know it was a difficult time, but we prayed, and we asked God for some direction and help. And would you know, even though I had been to the city, I'd try to get permits for a place to build a church, but nobody would listen. And then there was a notice that the lawyer that I had been talking to phoned me, and he says, "The bylaw has just been defeated. You go down and get your permit for the church today." And he knew about it, but so did the Lord, of course. And I know you can look at this building in today's eyes and you'd say, boy, they sure could have done a better job. They could have built it bigger. They could have done all kinds of things. But unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain.
Amen. True.
That build it. We depend on the Lord. Mm-hmm. We had to pray many a time. In fact, this morning I thought of how I started the, oh, you don't know about it.
Well,
at the back of the platform and down in the bottom is a hole that was the foundational base under which up and then up into the concrete beam on which these beams are resting. It was quite the feature, but it started right in the mud at the bottom. And I had a cat bulldozer come in and he dug off the soil. You know, when I think back, my God, who would be crazy enough to do that? But we needed a place. And, I wanted to tell you about that, and then I wanted to tell you about the city. But anyway,
we love it.
I remember building the forms. Oh, before we had that, we had to get a guy in with a machine to dig the hole, and it was as wide as that beam is, and We had to go down 6 feet into the ground, and we built with concrete reinforced bars with all this stuff that went on to make the bases for this weight of all the building to rest upon. And the day that we were going to pour the concrete, I had established, got the bars into place, and all that had been done. And the day that we were going to get the concrete man to come in and pour, which I announced in at the church on Sunday in the old church, I announced that we're going to need some help. I don't want to be there alone. Well, it was time to have the concrete truck come, and one man came, and it was raining heavy. The concrete truck guy pulled up, and he said, "Where's the help?" I said, "I called for it on Sunday, but the only one that came is this old guy," and he was an old guy. I don't remember his name at all. But I remember Mr. Stupid was there. He was alone. And with the help of the Lord, we poured that concrete in the midst of that rain, and it became the base. That night, I couldn't sleep because I remembered I had made a mistake. I had put the bars that go in, and the basement, they come out at an angle. I was supposed to put them the other way and go into the kitchen part as well as into the gym area. And I couldn't sleep that night. I phoned the next morning to ask, "What are we going to do?" And the man said, "I'll change the plan." And so we've got at least don't have a concrete bar going into the other buildings, and it's changed. I don't know if you're interested in hearing anything more than that, but
I appreciate it very much. I want to ask you one more question. I just want to know what kept you going during all that, all the obstacles, everything that was happening. What kept you going?
God only knows. There were lots of days when we were ready to give it up. And when we went to buy this piece of land, can you believe it? From a little congregation over there, we bought this, and I believe it was 4 acres. I can't remember the price, but I do know it was a miracle, 100 and some thousand in those days. And it was only by the goodness of the Lord that we managed to buy the land. Then we had to get the building, and I won't stop at that yet, but I will say this: God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And he has ways, and he still does, and trust him and believe him. There are miracles that he will do. We didn't do this for ourselves, but we thought we were crazy. And there were days I built on this building, I was only one here. But we paid people the lowest wage that just a servant, ordinary worker would get. So carpenters would come and volunteer to play to build, and only get, if I'm not mistaken, was $1.25 an hour. But you know, God was faithful then. And the thing that you need to know now, you didn't build this building, and I didn't. It was the Lord.
Amen.
We'd have never done it if it wasn't for the Lord. And I wonder what the Lord has in mind for you, Pastor, for the present age. I know you couldn't get a permit to change anything because they made a new bylaw in 8 days.
Yeah, I'm aware.
And that new bylaw meant we couldn't build here. But I had gone into the city office that day with one copy of a building that we were going to hope to build. I had picked it up in Saskatchewan from a church that had been built. And when this lawyer said, you better go and get that permit now while you can, well, I took that plan for the building, and that's what we built. And I put the plan down and told them what I was there for. I came to get the permit because we're going to build this church on that 4 acres of land. And he noticed that I was a roller. And he obeyed.
He handed that plan right over
to
that permit.
And he kept on until he had it printed out. And I paid the check right there for the permit costs and all, and came out of there. And the beginning was there, but nobody was there the day that I was trying to pour the concrete except that one man. But I could tell many stories about how God provided. Yeah. But, you know, there were even people that were totally ungodly that worked here by that low wage. And with the help of the Lord, we're here today.
Amen.
And it's not what we have done. It's what he has Amen. Done.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know about the zoning and permit issues. I've been dealing with those for a little bit. We got those sorted out. We got some of them. It was actually, the building was built on residential property. Somehow, he managed to get a building permit for a public assembly on a residential lot.
Yep, he did.
That's a feat in and of itself, and I believe it's because he was a roller. And I'm talking holy roller. We're talking pastor roller.
Yeah.
Both. You
want? I've always been called holy.
Oh, that's good. We moved to Reverend Ted Boodle, who I worked with for many years, so you can blame everything on him. But I'd like to ask you a couple questions as well, and then I'll go to LaVon too in a minute. What have you witnessed God doing in and through our people here?
Well, first of all, I could listen to Pastor Roller all day.
Yeah.
He's been a huge influence in my life. He was around when I was a teenager, when I was first converted, and helped out in South Burnaby, so that goes back a ways. But I could listen all day, so I hope you've written these stories down. So what was the question again?
So Pastor Ted is retired.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What have you witnessed at Westminster God doing in and through
his people? I'm trying to be brief, so I just put a little line or two down. From the time we got here, I would say that one of the great marks of this church was generosity, mm-hmm. and I'm tempted to tell stories about that. There was an emphasis on kids and young people, and every time we challenged the congregation, they responded. There was a Sunday, some of you will remember this, when Frank's assistant, Bapu Desai, was here, and he just mentioned that they were needing $8,000 to get computers for the orphanage there in India, and we decided to do a whip round after the service. I think you were here, and we thought we'd just help out, you know, do a whip round after the congregation had already taken an offering and give it to Bapu for those things. I was honestly thinking maybe $200-$300 would get the ball rolling, and we paid for the whole thing that Sunday, $8,000. And it was and I told Bapu out there in the hall, and he was standing close to the wall, I said, Bapu, we got all the money for your computers. And he sagged right back and hit the wall, and his jaw fell open, and it's one of my fond memories from here. So, and there was time after time after time, when we said we needed a youth pastor, we didn't have the money, the giving just stepped up and went on. Tremendous generosity. And that has carried on, and Mark and Michelle were behind this one. And I had nothing whatsoever to do with it. Again, God has these ideas. But the some of you may not know this, but the snack program in the three inner city schools, I think the year that I left the church, retired, I think it was something like 7,000 that these two between them had inspired. But the church supported them, didn't they? And the church was always
right
generous.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say generosity, Mark.
Mm-hmm. So that answers the spiritual DNA of generosity in this church.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've always bragged about our people saying if we need to fundraise for something, don't worry, the money will be there. It's pretty incredible. I mean, you were here 26 years.
Yes, I was.
And I'm sure you could say a ton of things on this one, but how do you see, or how did you see as well, Jesus in the people of West Winds? I mean, it's a big question.
Well, I just whispered to Pastor Roller there. I had to stay, when you said 26 years, I had to stay till I got it right. So you were stuck with me for that long. And then I left anyway. I hadn't got it right yet. No, what did I see Jesus do? You know, I am actually getting, some of you have been pestering me to write. You have been pestering me. That's the only word. And I'm halfway through my memoirs now. And I've been thrilled again and again and again at the stories of dramatic conversion and how people were brought to Christ by people in the church. And I was at a restaurant. I'll just tell you quick. I was at a restaurant at a birthday party, and somebody walked up to me and said, "You don't know me. I attended your church once. We were attending a different church. Our marriage was on the rocks. We woke up one morning, didn't want to go to our church. So let's visit that church down there." They walked in here, and that service that Sunday, they said, completely saved their marriage, turned their lives around. And it had happened 10 years ago. So I had somebody tell me that they had come to the church, they had accepted Christ, their life was transformed. And I said, "What was it that reached you?" And I was hoping they were going to say, "It's that great preaching." You know? And she looked at me and said, "It was your mother hugging me in the foyer."
Yeah.
And don't get me talking about Jesus.
About Gene Hill?
Yeah. And how you ladies love that woman. Mm-hmm. And some of you don't know the story. I'd love to tell you the story. But they said, "This woman is so broken, the only thing that will reach her will be unconditional love and LaVon and the women." And some of you folks here reach that woman for Christ.
Yep.
That's how I saw Christ in this place. And I could go on and on. Yeah. That's, and Daryl, yeah, we could talk about Daryl too. But no, don't get me started.
Well, I guarantee you he's going to write a book soon.
I'm writing.
Right? Okay, good. Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Ted. Thank you. So I think I know some of the answers to these questions, but I'm going to let you say them. What were the moments in which you looked at the people of West Winds and your heart burst with love and pride? Get that right.
They cried first, okay? So it happened so many times that I had to really have to really pick one. This congregation has just, and it still is, been absolutely amazing. There was one particular time, for those who don't know me, I have two sons. And my youngest son went to a grad retreat with his school and out in Chilliwack somewhere. And while he was there, one of his classmates drowned and lost his life. And my son was just shattered by this. And he came home and he told me about it. And he said, "You know, I don't even know how this family would be able to put together a service for this boy because they didn't have means." So I brought that information to my wonderful pastoral teammates, and we talked about it. And we decided to call North Surrey and talk to the principal there and offer our services. We called it our outreach funeral. And we put on the whole service for them here. This place was packed with teachers and kids. And what really made me so proud of this church was how the church stepped up, again, that spirit of generosity. The food was all provided here for everybody after. The pastoral care team and the Stephen ministers turned out. They didn't know this kid. None of us knew the kid. But they knew that there were going to be hurting and grieving people here. And so everywhere I looked, there was a Stephen minister or there was a pastoral care person there providing love to complete and utter strangers. You learned to sing Cat Stevens.
Yeah, I was just
morning
remembering.
Has broken.
Morning has broken.
There was one song we played that I didn't even know if it should have been played in the church, but we provided the funeral that they wanted. We gave the family a Bible. And then Karen Keller, she was there with us, and I saw her. She got a bead on a group of the young teenagers out in the parking lot, and they were all had turned it into a smoke pit. And she was barrel on her way over there to these kids, and I'm going, oh, dear. And so I went over to her afterward. I said, Karen, what did you say to those kids? She said, I told them how their presence here was going to be so important for their family and how valuable that their time was that they were spending here showing love to this family who had lost them. And she had just loved them up and been so loving and so kind. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the repercussion of that act of kindness ever was, but I know that that family and that pastor, that principal and those teachers couldn't see this church ever again as a place that doesn't give back. That day we were a church in the community and we felt it, and I was so proud of all of you.
Yeah, awesome. I remember you coming to me saying, you need to sing this song. And you're like, it's Cat Stevens. And I went, who? And she goes, oh, everyone knows it. It's Morning Is Broken. I'm like, no, everyone doesn't know it.
I went out and I had to get a tape so you could play it and listen.
And I listened to it over.
That shows how long ago. Now we would just get it on our phone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We had to buy a cassette tape. We didn't say 8-track, right? We didn't say 8-track. Wow, I remember that. And then I believe it was Black Sabbath on the way out. So, you have no idea.
Well, my first funeral I ever did was my Tom Jones funeral. And because that was the music that they chose.
That's
I was chaplaining at that point. And so, yeah, it's kind of been the thing.
I just did a funeral for our cousin, and we had Five Finger Death Punch. And it was actually, it was a great, great celebration of life. But I had never heard of, I kept calling them Five Finger Discount. But, yeah. That means something else. It's just, anyway, what built a fire for you in your ministry?
Well, it was not making announcements or welcome to the morning service. One Sunday, to everybody's horror, I welcomed everybody to Emmanuel Christian Center, and I don't even know where that is. I thought Ken Deeks was going to do personal injury to himself. He was laughing so hard. He looked like he was going to be sick. And that was the last Sunday my boys came to church. They went to Vineyard from that time on. So... But for me, I look at ministry as not something that I do, is that I give away. You're trying to do yourself out of a job. And so what I saw in my role and what made me passionate was to identify gifts and strengths, spiritual and otherwise, in individuals, and then to train and to cheerlead and to release them and support them in doing the ministry in the church. And this church was always so willing to come and serve. Mm-hmm. And so we had such a great group of people that that were just willing to do ministry out of their hearts and out of their giftings. Yeah. And so that's what made me passionate, was to look over and see somebody discover a gift and then be ministering to others in it and be blessed by giving back to the Lord.
And I can tell you from experience, that's all true. She wouldn't lie to you.
Well, I'd lie to you.
Yeah, you'd lie to me, actually. And then my last question, based on past experience, where do you see West Winds in the future as community, as individuals in our community here? Where do you see them?
Well, I think that this church has been very consistent with its mandate and its call, and it does have a DNA. And the interesting thing about that is it doesn't change. Like, I look around and I see a lot of familiar faces, but I see a lot of new faces, mm-hmm. and yet somehow the DNA has remained so much the same. And as Pastor Ted was saying earlier, the ministry that you were doing with the snacks, with the kids in the school, I see this church being still part of the community and not separate mm-hmm. from it, right. but looking for needs in the community where they can show and shine God's love to the people around here. It's taking it out of the walls of this building, and I see this church continuing to do that. Even when just across the street there was a shelter for during the last fires, and a lot of people were trying to have some place to stay until they could get back to their homes. Go over there. How can we help you? You went over and you offered them to the kids to come into your youth center downstairs. Mm-hmm. You were going to give them tickets to come to your camp, your VBS camp. Gas cards were brought over. And there were so many ways of just reaching out. And I think you told me that one of the women came with tears running down her cheeks and hugged you and said, thank you so much.
They actually hugged Elise and Michelle. I was not there. They did all the work.
I should have known.
Yeah.
But I mean, when those kind of things happen, there is so much out there in the world right now that brings negativity on the church. And mm-hmm. really, whatever the situation that is going on in the world right now doesn't grieve me as much as the way some Christians are behaving in God's name. And whenever these kind of things happen in our community, those people have to forever say, I cannot come against the church. I cannot come against God, because there was a day somebody came across the street and gave me a gas card for I don't know how much that the denominations were, and you didn't have to do that. So that comes against this thing in their mind of the church, that there are people out there who will make a difference, and I don't see that stopping in this church.
Awesome. I agree. Let's thank all of them. Thank you.